Welcome back to the deep dive. We are stepping right into the chaos of the 2026 Australian property market today.
Yeah, it's a strange one.
I've got a stack of reports here, and they just paint a really confusing picture. The median house price has hit an all-time high, what is it, $973,000.
That's right.
And yet, mortgage broker pipelines are practically empty. So the mission today is to figure out why the market looks invincible on paper, but, you know, feels broken on the ground.
It really is a fascinating contradiction. And the sources, they're calling this the turnover trap.
The turnover trap.
Yeah. Prices are resilient simply because there's nothing to buy, but the actual transaction volumes have just fallen off a cliff.
So it's a supply side illusion. Prices are up just because the shelves are empty, not because buyers suddenly have more money to burn.
Precisely. Homeowners are effectively locked in.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in this higher for longer rate environment.
Right.
The RBA hiked to 3.85% back in February to fight that stubborn inflation. Mm-hmm. So your average variable rate is sitting at a really painful 8.27%.
Okay, so nobody wants to sell their house and lose their old, you know, much lower rate. Or worse, sell and then realize they can't even borrow enough to buy the next place.
That is the real kicker. It's not just the interest rate. It's the new APRA rules that kicked in on February 1st.
Oh, the DTI caps.
Exactly. They formally capped debt-to-income lending. So if your total debt is more than 6 times your income, banks can now only approve you as part of this tiny 20% exceptions bucket.
Which sounds like a massive headache for investors, or really anyone with a bit of leverage. Even if you can afford the monthly repayment, the computer just says no.
It's a serviceability wall.
A serviceability wall.
And this just breaks the traditional broker model. I mean, you can't just hunt for the next purchase deal because that whole chain of buying and selling has snapped.
So what's the play? The sources are suggesting a pivot, right? From hunting for new clients to farming the ones you already have.
That's the only way through this.
Okay, so let's unpack that farming toolkit. Because amidst all this grim news, you found a very specific policy loophole in the notes, the serviceability buffer exception. How does that actually help get a deal across the line?
This is the critical aha moment for 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, you know, banks stress test a borrower at 3% above the actual rate.
So if your rate is 8%, they're testing if you can afford 11%.
Right. And that calculation, it kills almost every single refinance deal in this market.
Well, yeah. I mean, 11% is mathematically impossible for most households right now.
It is. But this exception allows banks to drop that buffer to just 1%.
1%.
1%. But only for refinancing borrowers who have a clean payment history and an LVR loan-to-value ratio under 80%.
That math change must be huge. So if you're being tested at 9% instead of 11%, what does that do to your actual borrowing power?
It unlocks roughly $450,000 in capacity. That is the difference between a client being trapped in mortgage prison and being able to actually refinance to a better deal. So the strategy is clear. Stop looking for new buyers and start mining your database for people who think they're stuck.
Okay, and there's also an interesting angle here with the first home buyer market. The home guarantee scheme, it's expanded, right? Unlimited places, price caps up to $1.5 million in Sydney.
Yeah, but the sources argue brokers are targeting the wrong demographic with it.
How so?
They are. Everyone targets the 20-somethings. But the smart play is what they're calling intergenerational lending.
Right.
You have seniors sitting on massive equity in these big empty houses, but they won't sell because of the pension asset test. If they downsize and release that cash, they lose their pension.
So they stay put to protect their income, but their kids are completely locked out of the market.
Right. So brokers can structure a deal where the seniors use that equity to help the kids get into the market through the guarantee scheme.
Sure.
It solves the kids' deposit hurdle without the parents having to sell the family home.
It's using policy to bypass the turnover trap. That's smart. Now, for this whole farming strategy to work, you need to own that client relationship. And there was a major regulatory win on March 4th about trigger leads, correct?
Oh, finally, yes. The ban is effective. Credit bureaus can no longer sell your client's data to a competitor the second you pull a credit report.
That used to be the nightmare scenario, right? You do all the work, you pull the file, and then 5 minutes later, another bank calls your client with a slightly lower offer.
It's gone. And this creates a safe harbor for, say, a 12-month nurture sequence. You can actually invest time in a client sending prop reports, maintenance tips, valuation updates, without the fear of being sniped at the finish line.
It seems like the common thread across all of these sources is a shift in the definition of the job itself.
Absolutely.
The days of being a transactional loan writer, you know, just finding a rate and filling out a form, they seem to be over.
completely. With the complexity of DTI caps, these buffer exceptions, and the intergenerational strategies, you are either a strategist navigating a minefield, or you're irrelevant.
And I think leaves us with a final thought to chew on. With AI now able to predict which of your clients is likely to move, and the trigger lead ban finally securing your data, are you still looking for strangers, or are you building a wall around the wealth you've already helped create? Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.